From the time that he was a child, Jeff Bradstreet wanted to be a doctor and a researcher. He earned his bachelor's degree in 1979 and went to medical school in Florida. His postgraduate work specialized in aerospace medical research, and he was licensed to practice medicine in 1984. 18 months after the birth of his son Matthew in 1994 and the diagnosis of autism for the little boy, Dr. Jeff Bradstreet's work took a very different path, understanding the causes, prevention, and treatment of autism spectral disorder. Word spread quickly among parent support groups dealing with autism that a doctor in Florida and Georgia was finding success with a variety of treatments for his patients. Dr. Bradstreet's approach, which was oftentimes experimental and controversial, was fine-tuned and shared widely through conferences, publications, and online. As is often the case with practitioners who don't agree with or don't follow mainstream medical protocols, Dr. Bradstreet also found critics of his work. June 2015, Dr. Jeffrey Bradstreet's office was visited, some would say raided, by inspectors from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. On Friday, June 19, 2015, Bradstreet was found dead by a fisherman in the Rocky Broad River. The medical examiner's office says the cause of death was suicide, but the case was not and is not closed. Meanwhile, controversy surrounds the death of Dr. Bradstreet, as well as a dozen other medical practitioners recently. Elizabeth Doherty of the Doherty Report spoke with Thomas and Candace Bradstreet, Dr. Bradstreet's brother and sister-in-law, about his work and this mysterious case. Here's Elizabeth Doherty.
If you look at everything online about Jeff, it says he committed suicide. Do you think that's the case?
No, obviously we don't believe that. You know, it goes against his entire life. There's nothing in his life that would ever back up the case of him wanting to commit suicide. That's one of the reasons why we still have an ongoing investigation and will continue to have an ongoing investigation until we feel comfortable that we know what happened. You know, he was a dad and a parent that was deeply committed to his family. He was deeply committed to his patients and his practice and seriously pursuing the cure for autism. And for all those things to be going on in his life, for him just to have what really amounts to just a minor harassment from the DEA and the FDA to all of a sudden just go, well, I'm going to call it quits. Just doesn't make sense to us, to Candace, to my older brother, to his family, to a lot of the people that knew him intimately for 40, 50, 60 years.
When you say minor harassment, what does that mean?
Well, I mean, they did come into his office, you know, in unique DEA style. And
were they armed?
DEA agents do carry sidearms, but it's not like they busted down the doors with guns drawn. It was a very clinical type investigation where they came in and they just basically took records and computer stuff. They didn't shut his practice down. They didn't tell him he couldn't leave the country. They told him, you know, they didn't tell him anything. We actually talked or have a letter of a conversation from the actual DEA agent that was in charge of it, and they barely spoke to Jeff.
They were actually, I've spoken to several of the patients that were there that week, and they were actually open on Friday, the day after. So
Okay. There
wasn't any storming into the office like they make it sound and so forth. It was very, It was done, I mean, I guess the best word would be professionally, but he did not have any GCMAF there. He stopped using it in January.
Can you help our audience and explain to people what that is?
GCMAF is called glycoprotein macrophage activating factor. And there's, you know, it's all over the place right now. He was using that and successfully with treating children with autism. And they were getting better. And, you know, as Jeff would always say, he didn't say cured. He said that they were recovering, and several of them were, and he's written papers on it, and that's what he was using it for.
Yeah, when I talked to him, I probably talked to him in late March, a couple months before he passed away. He was really high on, excited about GCMAF and the upcoming Autism One conference that he was going to, where he was going to talk a lot about GMAF. And he was really excited about where he was in his relationship with finding the way to stop autism.
My understanding is that there was also a link to curing cancer.
There's several papers out there. There's also, in fact, Dr. Yamamoto was the doctor who I believe has been credited for understanding how GMAF affects megalase, which megalase is what he feels causes cancer. And he has a clinic in Japan that's been using it. And yes, they've been curing cancer. If you Google it, you can find it everywhere.
I'm not sure if the bigger issue here is the autism thing or the cancer thing or both.
I think Jeff's concern initially was autism, but obviously he was a big thinker.
Yeah.
I'm sure he saw the ramifications. I mean, I'm not a medical doctor by any stretch of the word. I'm
Me
a layman.
Either.
For sure. And when you read the science behind it and the papers that he's printed and the YouTube videos about GCMAF, it's incredible stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he was excited about all the different applications. You know, he talked about, I think, 11 different applications, which included diabetes, cancer, all those immune problems.
What? Lost him.
Listen to the words of Dr. Jeff Bradstreet.
I would like to tell you that I have all the answers and that the science has finally come to full maturity and we're ready to just take on the world and prove everybody that has said all these negative things about us wrong. And we're getting there. I mean, I have a lot of hope and a lot of enthusiasm because as I kind of prepared this talk and looked at it, you know what? The literature is coming to us. The things that we've been saying for the last 10, 15, even 20 years. I think back to some of the stuff that Rimland wrote 25, 30 years ago. And you know what? It's coming. It's coming. But we, you know, we said gut bugs 15 years ago. And everybody thought, you guys are just completely whacked out. Gut bugs are causing autism? Have you seen any of the literature? I'm going to show you some of it, but yeah, those bad things that live downstairs in these kids make them crazy. How many of you believe that? Yeah, how many of you live that? I mean, you know, so goes the kid's yeast level, so goes mom's level of sanity that day, you know, pretty much.
This is the Doherty Report. Here's Elizabeth Doherty.
This is not unusual when we do interviews like those.
Yeah, I know. We've had this happen before when we're talking about GCMAF.
Yeah. So...
It's like our conversation is always really good, and there's a clear signal until we come out with GCMAF, and then, you know, the techno demons jump in, and we have technical problems from that moment forward.
We're just going to keep right on rolling. We have five different ways this thing is being recorded, so don't worry about it. A lot of industries benefit from not finding a cure for those things. Do you think that's a factor? I mean, I don't want to get too far into, you know, you have an ongoing investigation going on, so I don't want to intrude or anything. But do you think there's a vested interest in not finding a cure for cancer?
Well, clearly I know that through researching and understanding GCMAF, I mean, you're talking about the FDA and our current medical system, they know the powers of it. They actually have a clinical trial going on right now. So I personally would not be surprised if you see it roll out in a different form.
See, if I were you guys, if I were a group of people like you, and I'm not giving you legal advice here or anything because I'm not a lawyer, I would have patented that process.
Well, you know, the GCMAF, that was something that the originator, if you go back and look, was Yamamoto. But, I mean, Jeff at the Autism One conferences did talk about his specific protocols.
Right.
Those conversations would never take place because you wouldn't imagine being where we are now. His protocols were very special because he knew his patients and he had a way of doing it. And I know that it's, and that's where we feel very sad for all of his patients that are left behind because they relied on him so much. And that leads me to, Jeff loved his patients as well, and he would not just check out.
I think the interesting thing is, as you talk about trademarking, patenting, you know, the one thing about Jeff is, yes, he was a clinician. He was a doctor. He always wanted to be a research scientist growing up. He didn't really want to be a medical doctor. First of all, Jeff didn't create it. Jeff took this product and through his research and study and, to be frankly honest, his compassion and caring allowed him to look at each individual patient and apply that process. You can't patent that. You know, you can't replace a Jeff Bradstreet just by some formula. It was a gift that we believe God gave him. He was an incredible individual when it came to being intuitive about what was going on with his patients and the whole family. You know, I appreciate what you're saying. I just don't think you can do it.
I think his process was unique.
You know, I mean, it's as simple as this. My wife has used GCMAF on a cream that has helped her with a problem that she had that was Bell's palsy. So it radically improved the muscle structure, the nerve function in her face. And we had no protocol. We were just taking that cream and putting it directly on her face. So the stuff is amazing.
It's very powerful.
So where do we go from here? I haven't even talked about all the doctors who are working on this issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we can talk about that. For 6 months, we have been doing an investigation along with the police departments down there. We have shared some information, not very much. To be honest with you, there's some problems with some non-professional people that have hindered the investigation down there a little bit. I know there's a lot of speculation out there on the internet because of just the peculiarness of it and the coincidences of everything that went on with these 12 doctors. Did somebody get into a network of doctors that were all exploring the same thing and that were in collaboration with each other? We have not been able to prove that or even find the least bit of evidence of communication between them.
Stop. Our electricity is going out right now.
UPS has got us up and running.
Hold on.
Just keep going.
Wow. Finish your thought, sir. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's fine. So outside of the fact that they were all aware of GCMAF, and I can't speak for the level of research or application that the rest of these doctors were using, but there is one common factor in all of them, it seems, that they were all holistic in thinking, alternative in applying their medical expertise, and they were all aware of, if not using, GCMAF. That is the only thing that we've been able to find. I know there's...
Well, and I personally spoke with one of the doctor's wives that mysteriously died, very high-profile man, and she confirmed to me he definitely knew about Jeff's research with autism, and he himself was starting to kind of branch into that. But there simply isn't truth of what I keep reading, that all the doctors were talking and they all were, you know, pursuing this. That's not true, because I spoke with the one that was mentioned.
No.
Now, you know, absolutely all of those doctors were holistic-minded, wanted to find a cure, wanted to stop viruses and cancer. Absolutely.
Yeah, and the information on GCMAF is out there. I mean, it's not some secret document.
Yeah, it's not.
The research is all over the place about it.
So what's the problem?
I know that it's interesting, because there's actually another clinic in Arizona who has been using it. There's another doctor in California that's been using it for years.
Is Dr. Weil using it?
That I don't believe so. I don't know.
Okay.
I haven't heard that at all. There's been articles written on it by other doctors. So for us, too, it's this kind of mysterious thing. We don't have that answer of what happened. What I do know is the information we have is not proving suicide like everyone wants to believe. Again, the FDA raid was not anything of what everyone's making it out to be.
Listen to the words of Dr. Jeff Bradstreet.
This is the brain of a child who drowned without autism. And that's sad that any child would drown and we'd have their brain under the microscope. That's bad. It looks like there's a combat zone at the blood vessel interface with the brain. We call that the blood-brain barrier. And I really think that in many of these cases, that's under assault. Now, whether it's opening up and that's causing the immune cells in the brain to react more to what's happening, or there's a virus sitting there that's causing the immune cells to react, that's a critical area of intervention. So that's why when I treat kids with hyperbarics, which I use for this reason, because of this presumed assault on the blood vessels, I also use anti-inflammatories to reduce that inflammatory reaction. And we get much more sustained positive effects when we use those two together.
This is the Doherty Report. Here's Elizabeth Doherty.
Do you want to talk about the actual details of the suicide or not?
The details, you mean?
Okay.
We can't because we're not done. If we were to lay out everything that we know, and even forensically, it doesn't add up. That's about the most I can say. It doesn't add up.
I understand.
Yeah, I mean, as far as speaking specifically about the death of Jeff, the time of Jeff's death, you said suicide, I will say mysterious death. Does everything add up to be a normal suicide attempt?
No,
absolutely not.
Not everything at all.
That he did is really out of character of someone that was going to commit suicide.
Can I ask you one question?
Yes.
Did he write a letter? Because normally, when people commit suicide, they write a letter.
No, no one has ever had that. I know what you're referencing. It's a rumor that's out there. And number one, none of the detectives have ever seen it. So wherever this was generated from, my question would be, if there was a letter, why would you keep that from your family and his daughter and son of wanting closure?
Who kept the letter?
I was going to say that you can't, when you look at everything that Jeff believed in, and I've said this before, this has been a 20-year battle for my brother and his family. He has an ex-wife in Florida that was in it for 16 years with him directly. Now she has Matthew, his son. So he gave his personal life, his professional life, for the last 20 years. He slugged through all the mess and pulled back all the onion peels of all the different treatments because nobody knew anything about autism 20 years ago.
Right.
He was one of the top doctors in the United States, if not
yes,
the world.
Absolutely.
Of progressive thinking people regarding to autism. They were close to a cure. They had several different things that they were working on that was really providing significant results. And right at the very last big battle scene, this general in the world of autism just decides to check out.
Yeah, I don't think so.
When victory seemed to be so close at hand, and it is, it does seem it's within a couple years maybe at the most.
No, I think you're right.
Where they'll be able to really pull some kids back into reality.
I think you're right. If he were the only one, that would be unique, but he's not.
Right.
We already know about the doctor in New York and
right,
all these other people.
So just for us, the family that knew him best, knew him longest, it just doesn't make sense. I mean, he's gone through tough stuff before and never has have any history of depression or was he on any medication that one of the side effects was depression or suicide. He wasn't doing any of that.
So no history with that.
No
history. So that's why we just can't close the door on this thing because nothing makes sense. We try to be as open-minded as possible. Would it be easy to go, yeah, Big Pharma, you know, thought he was going to cure the world and they took him out? That would be, you know,
an easy thing to say.
But we haven't been able to prove any of that.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We are so sorry for your loss, first of all.
Thank you.
I want to know when you know more, okay?
Yeah.
That's fine.
We're hoping to. We're trying to get answers. And I know all his patients, you know, that loved him, they want answers too. And it's been very frustrating.
We thank you so much for your time. And I'm truly am very sorry for your loss. He sounds like a brilliant, amazing person.
Yeah.
He was. He was definitely a huge thinker when it came to research. I mean, that was his gift for sure.
Well, we thank you.
You're more than welcome. God bless you.